a game. Not a game. Not a game. We talking about practice.
He's on fire. It's impossible.
Posey will defend. Oh! LeBron James with no regard for human life.
Free agency moves going down. We've got summer league starting up. We've got some NBA players acting a fool. It's going to be a fun podcast here for our encore. I'm here with my always didgeridooing, always bearded Slim. How are you doing this morning?
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Cool. It's good to have you. And, you know, I'm not going to do this often because I get annoyed when other podcasts do it. So I'm going to do it early once. You know, we're new on the block. We're a new podcast. We've been writing for Asball for a while. Just want to let you know if you like this podcast, tell your friends. You know, write a little iTunes review. I got the link for iTunes on the post up now. So if you like us, you know, give us a little loving on there. All right, so diving right into it. Late news last night: Gordon Hayward is going to get a max offer from I almost said the Bobcats, from the Hornets. It looks like the Jazz are gonna match, but I think if he stays with the Jazz, we can pretty much project him for about what he did last year. I mean, nothing much has changed there. But what if he went to the Hornets? What would you see him doing there in my backyard, if you know what I mean?
If you're gonna start with that kind of money, you better play him big minutes. So there's gonna be some major fallback here. I don't think it's going to happen, though. The Jazz keep saying they're going to match it.
Yeah, and the Jazz have no one else to build around. I feel like Hayward's a pretty likable guy on all fronts. Why would they not center around him? He's a pretty good player. Still has upside. Go ahead.
It's a big number, though. Is it 4 years, 63, I think it says?
Yeah, it was a big offer. I mean, Well, he's going to have options in the market, which is good for him. But say he does go to the Hornets, I mean, they just have a travesty at 2 and 3, which Hayward can really play both. Probably play the 3 with Hendo playing the 2, don't you think?
Yeah. I don't see why not. They'd probably have to make a move, though. Can they afford that salary? I don't even know.
Well, with McRoberts off the book, I don't think Al Jefferson got too much. You know, Walker's, I think, still on his rookie deal. I think they could still, yeah. And, you know, Vonleh and Zeller both on rookie deals. I mean, it's actually a pretty young team with some upside and a couple vets with Jefferson in the middle. So that'd be really interesting if the Hornets.
Yeah, it'd be a much better team.
Yeah, that might be a top four team in the East. Might be a home team.
He might actually lead that team in assists, too, if he went there.
That's true. Kemba Walker never saw a three-pointer he didn't like. All right. Other news through the free agency market. Spencer Hawes gets signed to the Clippers to back up 4 or 5 minutes behind Blake and DeAndre. I know we've gone back and forth in comments a couple of times. You don't like this at all. I mean, obviously, no one likes it, but you don't even see him as draftable in 12-teamers, do you?
No, I don't think he's going to go over 20, 25 minutes. I think there's going to be enough upside to be drafted that'll be on the waiver.
Yeah, but one thing to consider is, you know, DeAndre got, you know, way over 30 minutes that we didn't really see coming. I know I ranked him awful last year. I wish I had put him up like I should have. I mean, everyone ranked him awful when it was all said and done.
Yeah, I had him on 2 of my teams.
But, you know, he can't hit the free throws. Maybe Spencer Hawes, that helps him get up 25, 27 minutes playing later in games.
Yeah, crunch time minutes. Yeah, I can see that, I guess.
And, you know, hit a 3 and get a block a game. I think that could be under the radar useful. I'll just leave it at that. He's not a guy. I'm like drafting in the 8th round or anything like that.
And if there's an injury, he's going to be big time, top 50 easy.
For sure. Do you think that they would play Hawes and DeAndre in the starting lineup if Blake Griffin went down? You know, he had a couple ailments here and there last year.
Yeah, I think they could. I mean, I don't think they have a better option, so.
Yeah, it's just like, imagine if they're playing the Jazz and, like, Spencer Hawes guarding Marvin Williams or, you know, one of those really undersized fours. It'd be kind of funny.
I think I read something about Marvin Williams was going to be somewhere else this next year.
Actually, yeah, the rumor was to the Hornets. So, and I think the Heat are also in talks with him. So, I mean, he's a cheaper guy that could be a decent enough bench player.
You read the new Heat rumor?
Which one's that?
Carmelo.
Well,
if Bosch signs with Houston, Carmelo might go to Miami.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of LeBron paired with Melo chatter all through the free agency. I think Bosch should take the money. I mean,
yeah, I don't see any reason for him to stay in Miami.
I don't either. I mean, he just was so. I mean, he wasn't Roy Hibbert towards the end of the playoffs, no. But he also wasn't Chris Bosch really either. So.
No, but he'll fit on Houston really well.
Yeah, yeah, that for sure.
Scary team.
Yeah, because
you said about Patrick Beverley sitting down and
yes,
like 4-on-5.
Yeah, put that in my post. He just starts playing with his fingernails on the half court logo when Harden takes the ball up. but yeah, that would be a really interesting Rockets team. I mean, that would be what, Parsons, Bosch and Superman manning the front court. Ugh.
Yeah.
That might be a favorite in the West. All right, so a couple guys re-signing. Kyle Lowry, Zach Randolph, Kyrie Irving. I think those were all kind of more or less expected. So stemming from rumors with the Heat, since everyone talks about LeBron, there's a report out that LeBron's limited his decisions to both going back to Cleveland and staying in Miami. I think we can all kind of project what he'd do with Miami. But what do you see his value doing moving to Cleveland? I mean, they got Kyrie's going to be having the ball in his hands, so no more point forward as much for LeBron. And then they got Wiggins. Do you think that hurts his fantasy value a good bit?
I think LeBron will just be the number one guy wherever he goes. I don't see Kyrie taking over. Like I think LeBron would tell Kyrie to go stand in a corner somewhere. Wait for a 3-ball or something.
Go pretend you're Uncle Drew and go to the retirement home. But like, what if like there's stretches where Kyrie is just crazy hot.
Yeah,
what if LeBron can just take a game off while Kyrie's got a shot going?
Do you really think LeBron's going to go back to Cleveland?
I don't know. Really? No. The all the things that are illogical about it, with the emotion and the owner being a moron and posting some letter like he's in high school.
Yeah, but they just took off their website.
Yeah, they just took it down like 2 days ago. Like, what? Why did they not take it down after like a day? They were like, this is stupid. But, I mean, it's a really young core with the number one pick that's actually got pretty good upside, unlike their number one pick from last year, Anthony Bennett. But, I mean, it's a young core around them. I think, you know, the illogical part of, you know, leaving the town and going back where no one will accept him, but it has logic in that he'd have a better team around him.
Every one of those fans that burned his jersey wants him back. That's I don't true. Care what they say.
If only they could unburn them.
Yeah.
All right. Couple more signings. I mean, we'll get more into KCP, so I won't talk too much about him. But Jody Meeks goes to Detroit. Hate it. But,
yeah,
you know, he had some big games for the Lakers, given it was Kobe-less Lakers that were Mike D'Antoni all offense, no defense, and the worst team ever. I mean, do you think he's going to be a similar Thragnoff this next year, get a steal?
I mean, and I would want KCP to steal his minutes, but I just don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, it's right this second, it's really 50-50 who I think is going to be the better option there.
Yeah, and I think I've mentioned this back and forth with you. I mean, Meeks could play the three. I mean, he's done it before. That just means they got to deal Greg Monroe or Josh Smith, which no one probably wants to take Josh Smith. It seems Monroe. Monroe could be traded. Do you think? I mean, why do you think Meeks is probably not a good fit at the three?
I'm just not sure if he can cover anybody. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's all matchup based, so
yeah,
it depends on whether or not the other team wants to go small, that kind of thing. But
yeah, that's true.
I mean, he really does help that team. I mean, he's going to help any team with his plus 40% 3-point shooting. So I mean, he's going to see the floor. Yeah, he just doesn't do enough for me.
Yeah, me either.
Are the Steel's gonna be back? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I don't know. He, a lot was predicated on minutes. You know, he gets the steals when he gets opportunities. But if KCP emerges, like we both hope, but we'll get into KCP in a little bit later. I know this one's really boring, and I'm not really a huge fan of his. But Jameer Nelson gets waived, and then there's a good chance he's going to the Pelicans. I don't think they've officially picked him up yet. But if he is on the Pelicans, I mean, I think that's one of those really good 16-team and up kind of pickups. You know, a guy that's going to play 20, 25 minutes pretty consistently, hit a three, get a steal. You know, Drew Holiday's been injury prone too. Don't you think that's pretty much as good a fit Nelson could have gotten this year?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't going to get a starting job anywhere. So.
Exactly.
I
mean, yeah.
In 20 minutes, he could probably stay healthy for that, which has always been his big problem. So, it could really work out for him.
So, in leagues like the REL, hopefully not too many REL people are listening. I'm hoping to pick him up for a dollar or two in the draft. Arguably the worst free agent signing. We haven't brought him up yet. I didn't even preface this with anything. I didn't talk to you about the
Ben
show.
Gordon.
Oh, no, I was going for the other magic one.
Fry, yeah.
I love that you picked another magic pickup. What are they doing? So I guess we'll start with Gordon since you guessed him first. $9 million for 2 years for one of the worst bench warmers.
Yeah, making a playoff run, I guess.
Yeah, I think the really only logic you can put behind this is they hope he just gets really hot in the first half and can trade him for a first round pick, which I don't see any team doing. But and then on top of that, the team that picks him up has to pick up that other, you know, whatever 2-3 million of that first year salary is before I think the second year is a team option or something like that. But
yeah.
Still, I mean, if you trade for him, you still have to pay this guy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, well, that one doesn't really have too much fantasy impact, but Channing Frye does. 4 years, $32 million to play the starting four. I mean, this was a guy that had fantasy value last year in Phoenix. I'm not a huge fan because I think he's kind of a Thragnoff. For new listeners, if you don't know what Thragnoff is, that stands for Threes Ain't Got No Face, which is a playoff Graves saves ain't got no face. So it's my theory that you don't need to go into drafts or overvalue players for three-point shooting. It's a stat that can really easily get filled up with other players. And this is more for head-to-head leagues, which I think is the most common format people play in. But just wanted to throw that out there. If you go to if you're on basketball.com, you go over to extras. There's a glossary in there, so that explains it a little bit better. But back to Frye. You know, can get bored sometimes. You know, he's kind of a stretch four, so he's not always in the paint. But we'll fall into a couple boards and get a block. How do you like Frye going into drafts next year?
I mean, he lost a lot of minutes. His minutes really fluctuated with Phoenix. So if those get back up to 30, 32 a minute like he did a couple of years ago, yeah, he could be back to, you know, 12, 7.
Yeah. I mean,
three and a half in the block, maybe even 2 threes.
What's weird is I've never liked Frye, but I have a feeling just going to the Magic is like such a boring, unfun team. And they have a lot of power forward depth, but this kind of money means they want him to start. I think he could be a value in like the last round or something like that. That no one's really going to talk about. to that power forward depth. I mean, they got rookie Aaron Gordon and Tobias Harris. I mean, this is just a horrible logjam. I saw you commented earlier that you think the Magic might be done with Harris long term. I kind of tend to agree.
I don't see why they would bring in all these people if they really thought they were going to play them 30-plus minutes for the next 5 years. It just doesn't make sense to me.
I know. It doesn't to me either, and it just I mean, it doesn't make sense why they do this. I mean, Harris is a young guy that showed upside and just had an injury-plagued, you know, 13-14. So, I don't know. Hopefully Harris gets moved somewhere and gets another shot, because his second half last – or 2 years ago now was unbelievable. So hopefully someone will pick him up there. In a trade, Lou Williams heading to Toronto. I think that's actually a little interesting. Do you think this hurts Terrence Ross's minutes?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's hard to really – I mean, Lou Williams had a really bad year last year coming off the injury.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to assume he's back to 100%, but, you know, he's not a young kid anymore. I don't think they brought him into play 30 minutes. But, yeah, it's getting too deep there. I mean, what's his name's going to re-sign, too? What's his name? The backup point guard.
Gravis?
Yeah.
So, with Vasquez back there, I don't know. Lou can play the one through the three. So, I think if Ross struggles, I mean, DeRozan's obviously going to get his minutes. Lowry's going to get his minutes if healthy. I just think that if Ross has some of those off nights, like he was really inconsistent. What was his season high? 50 some odd, and then he was under 10 half the time, it seemed like.
I picked him up a couple of times last year, but too many times.
Yeah, I feel like he was in and off rosters. He was kind of the waiver wire whore, just in and out of your lineup all the time. You know, Thabo Sefolosha signs with the Hawks. I know you love Reggie Jackson. How strong do you feel that Arjax is going to start at the two?
Yeah, I think that's set in stone right now. Roberson or Perry Jones, something like that. They gave him an opportunity last year, but...
Yeah, and Lamb...
Reggie played so well in the playoffs.
Yeah, Lamb is not too consistent either. I don't know. I mean, I could see him still not being the technical starter and getting the minutes anyway. You know, one of those, like, they start some stupid vet, and then he ends up coming in and plays the whole fourth quarter with Westbrook. So, yeah, I don't know. I guess I need to start thinking of him more and more as a solid draft pick and draft him and have him close in my ranks to where his ADP will be.
He doesn't have any one stat that's going to jump out at you, but you know, 15-5-5 is kind of a ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to get steals, going to get some threes, both percents, phenomenal free throw percent, low turnovers. It hits every category.
The more I'm thinking about it, the more the Sefolosha moving on, and just you know, and the fact that they're not spending in the free agent market. I'm starting to really – I need to rethink my Reggie Jackson perception. One more signing, Darren Collison going to the Kings. Isaiah Thomas, I think we've known his days are over for a while, which I don't really know why. He seems like –
I don't think anybody knows why.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's always been about how Sacramento hates him. The impression Collison gave was that he's going to be the starter. So IT2 probably moved somewhere interesting. What do you like for Collison this year?
Yeah, he'll do what he did last year when he had when he got the start. I don't see any reason why not. He could very well be the leader on that team.
Mm-hmm.
There's some big voices, but you know, he'll have the ball in his hands almost every time.
Yeah, I think he could be a really, really good sneaky point guard draft pick in like round 7-8 or something like that.
He's not going to hit 8 assists or anything just because, you know, Rudy Gay doesn't pass the ball.
And mm-hmm.
Cousins isn't really too keen on sharing.
Cousins is like baby in the block pit or in the ball pit. He just grabs them all and then yells at everyone and throws punches. Yeah, I mean, and Collison's got a good track record of steals, so I think he's going to be a really good sleeper as we start rounding out ranks. All right, so real quick, you know, I thought this would be fun to talk about in one of our early episodes because, you know, as we're into the season, it's not as topical. But we've talked about this before a couple times in comments, but of the big three fantasy sports, how would you rank fantasy basketball to fantasy baseball to fantasy football?
Football is at the very, very bottom. It's completely luck.
Yeah, and we're in complete agreement there. Yeah, what's funny is I started because I was into fantasy football. I liked fantasy baseball just as much, but I did football writing first. This was, you know, 5 or 6 years ago. And just the more and more I got into it, the more it was just so frustrating and just all luck and very annoying. And the way I equate it is kind of my good metaphor is fantasy football is your gateway drug. And then if you're really into sports, then you start getting to the hard stuff. So,
I think I made the statement that winning in fantasy football comes down to, does the safety make the tackle?
Yeah, that's
something
true.
You have no control over. Yeah.
Anyone can regale you with stories of ridiculous fantasy football luck, but I remember one time on, I don't know if you remember the Monday night game from maybe 3 years ago where Michael Vick put up like 60 or 70 points. I was actually playing my friend who was a Redskins fan, and I was down exactly what he scored, you know, plus one or two. So I ended up going up a couple points, and then in complete garbage time, McNabb, who was on the Redskins at that point, throws a pick six that means nothing, and he happened to have the Eagles defense. So because his team even got worse than that, he ended up winning. Fantasy football is just out. So.
You really hung on to that one, huh?
Oh, not really. That just came to me. As I sit here with my Donovan McNabb just shrine that has bunch of pins in his head. I'm just kidding. But why do you like fantasy basketball? Do you like it over baseball?
Yeah. First off, fantasy basketball, I think, is the most predictable.
Yeah.
Whereas baseball, you know, you got Josh Rutledge and Jerichos and Brad Millers all over the place. In basketball, if they get minutes, they're going to do something.
Mm-hmm. And I think a big thing with basketball is because it's kind of more of a flowy game. You know, baseball is just real hard stop and relax. Real hard that, and, you know, they're doing that every day. That's just lends itself to all these ridiculous injuries these days. And, you know, they can't take steroids anymore like they used to.
sure.
But I think injuries, I mean, of course injuries are a big part of basketball too. But I just feel like injuries don't just completely derail you as they do in the other two main fantasy sports.
Yeah, because you pick up the backup and you're going to get probably similar numbers.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they won't be quite as good, but you'll be able to get someone, you know, that is actually going to get those minutes. So I won't lie. I'm probably still a little bit bigger into fantasy baseball just because the Brewers are my favorite overall sports team. But basketball is, you know, a very, very close second. And I love it. We both love it. And it's fun to do when it's, you know, the only sport going on through the winter. I think that's another big draw of it is that you're not really distracted with the other sports going on. Like the end of baseball and football is very frustrating. All right, so let's spend the end of our show here and talk a little summer league. I'll just let you start. What's the biggest thing you've seen so far in summer league? A couple guys played two games, a few have played three. What's your biggest takeaway so far?
Well, the bigs that I mentioned yesterday, Plumlee. I mean, you know, he's not playing against anybody, but he really looks dominant in only like 25 minutes. You know, he's getting 18, 20 points in 25 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think he looks really good. And I think he can play the four. Garnett coming off the bench, maybe, something like that.
Interesting. So you think a Brook Lopez, Mason Plumlee front line?
I think it's possible. I mean, I like Plumlee better as a power forward than a center just because I don't think he can muscle some of those bigger centers.
Mm-hmm. Man, that would be a pretty dynamic front line if they indeed go that way.
Yeah, it's probably playing a little closer to the rim and Lopez with his 15-foot jump or something like that.
With his hook shot. One guy that we teased a little bit earlier in the show, how about what KCP is doing in Summer League? I mean, he is just tearing it up.
Yeah, he had the 2 points at halftime yesterday and finished with 26.
Yeah, I actually watched the highlights of that game. He sprained his ankle in the first half, too, so I don't think he was necessarily playing that big minutes in the first half, and then just went off in the second half. His line in the first two games, 36-0-2-1. Never mind. The 36-0-2-1 was what he did in the finale last year against the Thunder, and that's a game I remember watching that game, and he just took over more than anyone else did. And then he's put up 26, 30, then 26 so far in Summer League. This guy just needs minutes, and this Meek signing is just the worst. So, what do you think KCP is even going to be drafted in 12-team leagues?
The rotations come preseason will probably be pretty telling, but
it's true.
He's going to be on my short list. He's going to make the two top 150 for me, no question.
Yeah, you will, me too. I think.
Good. I mean, he made it for me last year.
Yeah, me too. And it was annoying too because he was actually getting minutes and was getting the steals and high. I think he had. He had so few turnovers last year for a guy playing guard. Then Maurice Cheeks gets fired, and KCP only comes off the bench for a minute or two here and there. So, I don't know. I want to reach for him really bad, but...
Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
Yeah,
I have a feeling he'll be dropped after the first month.
I could see that too, unfortunately. So how about your boy, Elfrid on the Shelfrid? That is such a good nickname. That's maybe my favorite thing to come out. That's all Slim, all you Slim coming up with that. That was, I think that's the funniest nickname since early last year, if even that. But you're impressed with what he's doing through summer so far?
Yeah, I mean, he came off the bench yesterday, so that's a little bit odd. I don't know what they're going to do. They could just very well go with Oladipo at point. So there's a lot of risk, but just his skill set is really good.
Yeah, he in his second summer league game, 12-8-9, so flirted with the trip dub. I will mention that I read somewhere that a lot of teams are seeing the NBA of the future going to combo guards, you know, playing two guys that could play point guard, shoot guard, you know, kind of what Phoenix has done with Dragic and Bledsoe. And they could do that easily there in Orlando with Peyton and Oladipo.
Oh, yeah. That'd be They're pretty, both real long.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be pretty interesting. So I'm warming up a little bit on Elfrid.
He is shooting 50% free throws, though.
Yeah, that's true. I mean... I don't know. That's something.
There's gonna be issues.
I mean, obviously, I think since he's a rookie, and I mean, I don't think he's gonna be Tony Roten at the free throw line, but yeah. I mean, there's gonna be bumps, but I think that's gonna be put into the ADP.
Yeah, and it'll be counteracted by the potentially 50% field goals.
True. Because
he could very well get that if he doesn't take too many bad shots.
Yeah, because he's not a huge perimeter guy, is he? He's more of a slasher.
But he can. He's good off the ball too.
Mm-hmm.
So like Oladipo driving and passing off to him, he'll dunk it. You know, he's not going to go up soft.
Yeah, that's. I mean, if those guys work out playing well together, all of a sudden the Magic are going to be a really fun team to watch. And I mean, either of them can kick out to Channing Frye. So maybe that's a. Another reason they decided to get Fry, a big that can pop out, is they got two slashing guards. So,
yeah, I'm looking at Aaron Gordon's numbers. He's struggling pretty bad so far.
Yeah, and I feel like that. I don't think he's draftable at all this year, just because he's just so much of a project. So I'm not really surprised that he struggled, just because you know he's one of those uber athletic dudes that just needs refinement. How about your boy, Jordan Adams? He's looking good.
Yeah. Do I have to talk about him?
We'll just edit over this part. But yeah, he's playing well for Memphis. I'm not as huge on him as you are because while there are some scrubs ahead of him, I think those scrubs are going to get minutes. I mean, Tony Allen's still going to get his minutes, I think.
It came down last year. He was getting down to 20-25 at the end of the year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, but didn't he got hurt for a while, and I think they maybe just were cautious with him.
Since they don't have a four that shoots threes, and Tony Allen doesn't shoot threes, that really hurts the spacing. I think they have to play somebody that can just sit there outside. I think he gets his minutes. I think he gets his minutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what they needed was a shooter. I remember watched maybe 7 to 8 Grizzlies games end to end, and their spacing is just awful. But that's kind of the team they are, is defense and grind real slow and have Gasol shoot mid range.
They still have a gaping hole at small forward too.
That's true. So they could pair him even with Allen.
I think so. So Allen can guard a small forward. I think he used to play small forward too.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Allen could guard pretty much anyone. I mean, his defense is really good. Another guy go ahead. What were you gonna say?
So if his biggest competition is the journeyman, what's his name? I can't remember his name. The guy that came from Boston last year,
Courtney Lee.
Yeah, I mean, that's his biggest competition, is a guy that people keep trading. I'm thinking 20 minutes from the start, and by the end of the year, I think he's the starter.
Interesting, because, I mean, I thought Courtney Lee was decent enough. I'm checking out his contract right now. Yeah, he's still signed through the next 2 years, so... I don't know. I just don't know if he's going to get enough minutes, but that could obviously change. Another guy that I saw I watched the highlights from his summer league game. I believe it was 2 days ago. Maybe it was his game last night. But Nerlens Noel, I think I'm going to be all in. He looked awesome. I mean, given it's summer league and it's a bunch of scrubs, but I think he's a guy that, you know, with this huge draft class coming in, everyone's going to forget how big of a prospect Noel was sitting out last year with the ACL. I think he's going to be really good.
Yeah, and since he's not going to go off on points or anything like that during the preseason, he should stay relatively reasonably priced. I don't think anyone's going to put him in the top 50.
No. I saying I'm going to be all in, I couldn't put him top 50 either. But blocks and steals combo, a little bit more offensive polish than, like, say, Andre Drummond. I'm obviously going to take Drummond ahead of Noel and DeAndre Jordan too. But I mean, I think he could be, you know, a mini clone of one of those guys with a little better ratios.
Yeah. Is he a free throw shooter? I don't even know.
I'm not sure. I don't have it from it. I wonder what he shot in his limited time in Kentucky, but I'm sure it's better than those guys. I mean, anyone's better than those guys. I think I would be a better free throw shooter than those guys, shooting granny style.
And 24 minutes yesterday, 8-6, 2 steals and 3 blocks.
Yeah, he was getting close to a rainbow line there. So one guy that's not doing so hot, actually a couple guys that aren't doing so hot, Marcus Smart, struggling a little bit, 0-for-5 from 3 in his first game, and then 3-for-15 overall from the field in his second game. You know, he's playing good defense, and I really like Marcus Smart, but I'm going to be an anti-Smart guy for fantasy just because he doesn't hit threes. And he's not going to get assists, especially if they don't move Rondo. Am I crazy for seeing him as kind of a bust this year?
Probably not, especially since they re-signed Avery Bradley.
Yeah, that was a big one too. Does Smart come off the bench behind those two guys, Rondo and Bradley?
Yeah, but he'll still get 25-plus minutes. I mean, his defense is going to keep him on the court. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's dropping down the rankings, unfortunately.
Yeah, and it's a shame because, I mean, I've talked to you about Marcus Smart for the past year. I really like this guy. I think I just thought he was going to, you know, kind of sneak into drafts, but I think everyone just likes him and is really excited for him. He's a real dynamic player, fun to watch. But I just don't think he brings enough as a point guard, fantasy-wise. Another guy... Yeah.
In a dynasty, the needle hasn't moved at all. I think the transition from rookie year to second year is going to be a big one for him.
Yeah, that's probably...
Rondo will probably move on. So I think this year, mediocre. Next year, big time.
Well, that brings up an interesting kind of philosophical point with dynasties. How much do you think people overweigh year one versus rest of career for rookies?
I mean, I can only speak for myself, I guess, but it barely affects me. I mean, you know, Steven Adams had, you know, he wasn't the greatest last year for big stretches, and I didn't entertain a single offer for him.
Yeah, that's right. I think for the, I don't know, I don't really have a concrete answer either. I don't
like KCP. You haven't moved on KCP at all.
No. Well, KCP, I think my strategy is kind of the mid to low range rookies with upside that aren't costing a lot of your budget year to year. I think those guys are real easy to hold on to, especially when they're flashing upside here and there. It's just the higher tier ones, like Marcus Smart in our REL. REL, for new listeners, is a Razzball Elite League. It's a 20-team league that's maybe the deepest fantasy basketball league out there. Well, that's probably going too far, but it's deep rosters, and it's a $200 budget year to year. What did Durant went for over 100, I think, in our draft.
It's 70 something.
Yeah. So Marcus Smart, I mean, he's probably going to go $30. I mean, that's putting a lot on the future and not enough for now. I don't know.
He's still going to play now, so that's going to help. You take someone like Aaron Gordon, I don't know if he's going to even get off the bench. So I couldn't price him at $30 or anything close to that.
Yeah, both those guys are fun and interesting, and I wish I could have them on my team. But I just don't want to throw away. It's not throwing away a year, but it's getting not enough for your return in a dynasty for those guys in year one, I don't think.
Yes and no. I mean, remember I drafted Otto Porter and Anthony Bennett last year.
Yeah, but you traded them real quick.
Yeah, but that was they still had value.
Yeah, I mean, they do still have value.
Somebody still wanted it.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I'm a little too short-sighted, but I don't know. Even in dynasties, I just think people are going to overreach for those guys, and they have to have some things fall the right way for their careers to work out as people are going to hype them up to be. Another guy struggling is a guy you've been rooting a lot for. He's for your home team, Shabazz Napier, Turnover Magoo. What's happening to him in summer league?
I've seen a couple of. I mean, these games are so hard to watch.
I mean, yeah, I know.
I've watched some replays. That's about it. But yeah, the turnovers are bad. I don't know. It's so young. So young in his career.
Yeah, I mean, it's summer league. You can't all this stuff we're talking about. Yeah,
all the guys that he's playing with aren't really NBA caliber players.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to, you know, pass to them and have them do something with the ball. It's not the easiest thing in the world.
So since there's scenarios flying around and we could hypothesize about what Miami's going to do, let's just pretend the big three come back. And then they got McBob playing the Josh McRoberts playing the four, and then Napier starts at point guard. What round are you getting him in a 12-team league?
Let's see. There's 13 rounds total.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably somewhere around 11, 10, 11.
Yeah.
By then, anything with any kind of guarantee is going to be gone.
Yeah, I just...
There's not going to be a point guard at that point. He'll be the only point guard with any kind of minutes left on the board.
I know. I just think he's going to be so boring even in good minutes on that team if if it comes back the way that it could. I don't know. I know he can hit some threes and maybe get a steal or two. I wouldn't take him unless it's like the very last round. I don't know. I think I'd probably fill up my point guards earlier in the draft and then take upside wings late. But that's just usually how I draft. I usually get my points earlier on. Any other summer league free agents you want to talk about before we get out of here?
That's about everybody. It's only three games a night right now.
Yeah.
Some days till Vegas starts up.
Yep. We got Vegas League coming up. Still got huge free agent splashes coming with Carmelo and LeBron. So we'll do another pod when all that kind of dust sort of settles. Maybe, and I don't know, when do you think those guys are going to sign? A couple weeks? Something like that.
Who knows? I have no idea.
I don't think anyone knows. So let's just say once those guys sign and most of the free agents have gone somewhere, you can look for a pod from us a couple days later. We'll just leave it at that. So thanks again for joining us. Hope you had a fun time. We're enjoying doing it, and we'll hope to see you next time. Keep up with us at basketball.rasball.com. I'll be keeping some, maybe about a once a week update going up there on the blog. And then, like I said, we'll do another pod in maybe a couple weeks. So thanks for joining me, Slim. I hope you had have a good morning, man.
Yeah, my pleasure.
All right, take it easy.
Adios.